own unfiltered opinion.
Sometimes you have ideas and you're not quite sure why.
You secure the bag.
Sometimes you meet people and realize there's probably a reason why you stayed in touch.
Just listen.
Sometimes all the pieces just come together by themselves.
Woo! I'm Jimmy Moyaha.
I'm Nicolette Mashile.
And I'm Simon Brown.
Welcome to Insider Exchange.
The new Lady Gaga album.
Yeah.
You excited?
Yeah. It dropped to my phone like 30 minutes ago, man. I need to get out of here. I listened to it. But I got stuff to do. Like, I got to get to other studios. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Lady Gaga.
You're going to find time to download the album and actually, like, give listen, it time.
And what I do when I get a new album, like Lady Gaga, is I will basically put this on repeat all weekend.
I've never been a really, really big person on that. But I do remember distinctly one album that I did that with in my varsity-ish kind of time. And that was the 2020 experience with Justin Timberlake. I don't know why, but it just stuck with me.
Yeah, it's how you get to understand the album. And you know, and I'm old school, right? I'm old enough to have had to do this on vinyl. Not because I was being a hipster, but because that's how music was delivered, on vinyl.
Do you know what? My dad's got he's got a massive vinyl collection.
Me too.
We should, yeah, we're going to have a vinyl conversation at some point. But let's get into the show. We're starting with Market Matters this week. We're looking at the Chinese stimulus. We're looking at the interest rates out of Switzerland. And we're looking at the fact that U.S. earnings are starting to trickle in. That stimulus this week.
Sure. Ooh. So, I mean, I'm trying to quantify a number, but by accounts, it's like the biggest, and if not, the only bigger was maybe 2008. It is big, big numbers. And they've done it the sort of old-fashioned way, where basically they're just making it easier to borrow money, cheaper to take on debt, which I suppose, I mean, it helps. It's just more trickle. I mean, the response has been, I mean, Richemont's up 15% since then. Probably Naspers and Process about the same. And just a couple of trading days, because, of course, we were closed on Tuesday when the announcement came. Mm. But it's a big deal. And it is, it partly says, yes, China's got problems, but we knew that. Now they come with their stimulus. I got to say, I think the commodities have got ahead of themselves. And I'll tell you why. Just because the immediate impact is that someone's got more money on their credit card and can go buy a Cartier in Beijing. Sure. But the benefit to commodities, surely a further trickle down the line. Mm. I mean, we didn't suddenly have 100 new bridges built in the last 3 days.
I think the commodity side of it might be institutional flow more so than anything else.
I think so.
On the Richemont one, I'm wondering now, because China is such a big part of the luxury space. But I saw something interesting that said, I think it was yesterday, that suggests that younger citizens in China, the younger demographic, is opting for the dupe versions of these luxury brands, and therefore luxury brands could be in for a tough time. And if you think about it, I mean, the transfer of wealth will happen at some point. It is inevitable, right?
Sure, sure.
And if that happens and the younger generation does not prioritize the Cartiers, the Louis Vuittons and all of that, is there still that big a market? That being said, I mean, if you just look at the sheer volume of luxury goods consumed in China, we're still a long way away from Richemont going out of business.
And I mean, but your story is also one that I've been hearing forever and a day. I mean, literally 20 years ago, I remember being on online forums and fighting around Richemont and how, it was over. And then we started getting these sort of fancy smartwatches and, Richemont is over again. Sure, there will be people who buy in the fakes, but the rich people want the real McCoy. And I was chatting with someone from New World Wealth, talking around centimillionaires. So these are people with $100 million.
You chatted to
dollars.
Andrew?
Yeah.
I love Andrew's reports.
Yeah. I know.
Those are some great things.
There are 30,000 centimillionaires, and that number's almost doubled, 54% higher in the last little while. I mean, it is just, and these are confirmed, right? So if you've got a quiet little unlisted business, no one knows you're a centimillionaire unless you put a sign in your yard.
Mm.
But these are
I mean, signs and yards.
Yeah, yeah. And these folks do it. And I remember going past the Cartier store in Paris, and and you know, there are lines outside. It is wild. So I think there will always be people who are shopping down. I think there are people who will be happy with fakes. I think there will be new brands that try and compete but can't compete because Cartier's got the history behind it, as have the others. But I think they're there, and I think we're just seeing more people getting richer. And they're buying these things, man.
As you say this, I think about Sotheby's and I think about Christie's, the auction houses. Those guys aren't worried about the state of the luxury market, and they only service the luxury market. So clearly, that's always going to be a thing. Yeah,
and then there's Luxity. You've probably chatted with Michael.
Yeah, I've spoken to Michael.
Yeah, Luxity. And Luxity as well. I mean, they'd look at this stuff as like investments.
Mm.
And
well, there's a very compelling case for that. I've written several pieces around that.
Yeah.
There's a very compelling case for luxury as an investment asset class, and it's a diversified investment asset class. But I suppose this is where guys like Richemont, we're going to start to see numbers looking more positive.
And their last Asia Pacific was, what, 18% down?
Yes,
the last
but it was offset by the 18% increase that they saw in, I think it was the Japanese market, or there was one market that kind of offset the entire Asia-Pacific.
Japan was up 59.
Yes, it was the Japanese movement that offset.
America's up 10, Middle East up 8, Europe up 5, and then Asia-Pacific down 18. So it all looked nice. Mm. But I think that luxury remains. And also, we've got to define our luxury. I mean, to me, luxury is Richemont, it's Ferrari. I mean, I look at LVMH, and I'm like, I mean, guys, you got whiskey in there, for goodness sake. I look at Kering. I look at handbags. I'm not so impressed. I want hardcore top-end luxury.
Go check out our podcast that we did with David Shapiro on luxury stocks. Yeah. We went deep into detail with that. It is up on our platforms. Si, let's look at the US earnings. They're starting to trickle in now. We haven't seen too many of them come out this week. But as they start to trickle in, are we even interested at this point? Because we got our rate cut. We finally got our rate cut. We're happy. We're moving on with our lives. Do we care about the earnings numbers at this point?
We do. And I think there are a couple. So firstly, there's the lack of the Mag 7s or the Mag 6s as they are now. How do they do? Do they carry on to perform? Do they carry on knocking it out the park? I want to see how we chatted last week with Fahim Adir on the small caps. What are we seeing there? Are they picking up? And then there's some bellwether stocks out there. FedEx, always one that is, you know, just like FedEx gives you a nice idea around what's happening in an economy. Now, there's some lumpy bits in it because, for example, Amazon has taken a lot of what would go into FedEx, or actually UPS, and doing it in-house and the like. But how's that looking? And I got to say, I thought FedEx numbers were okay.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't knock it out the park, but were okay. And I think that might maybe more than anything kind of be a theme. I don't think we're going to see a lot of knockout. There will be exceptions, probably Microsoft, probably Nvidia. But I think we're going to see a lot of just okays. And then it's, you know, people look for other things. We saw Adobe come out with, I thought, were good numbers, but the market's worried about them and AI.
Mm.
So, you know, slammed the stock down because the CEO in the conference call didn't say enough about AI.
But also Adobe, there's been a lot of like sort of commentary around their customer agreements and saying that people are now starting to use Adobe less, or reconsidering their relationships with Adobe if you're a content creator, because anything you create on the Adobe platform or on Adobe systems, they are allowed to use. You're giving them a full right of use over that intellectual property and then copyrights, or those copyrighted things that you create.
Yeah, but didn't that get walked back and misunderstood?
Adobe partially walked it back. They didn't say they were taking it away. They kind of just said, no, let's explain.
But some of this, yeah, because some of this, and I remember that, but I didn't look deep into it. Some of it, and I remember, side story, my wife once read the T's and C's for Adobe Acrobat, all 24 pages of it, decided it was horrible, said no, and promptly had everything deleted off her computer. But the thing with it, some of it's just legal stuff. For example, I know Microsoft has the same thing, because if I'm going to store stuff into my Microsoft cloud, my OneDrive, they've got to have rights to do stuff with it. For example, they might move it from a drive in the US to one in Europe or one in Asia or something. So sometimes it's just the lawyers getting crazy. But you know, the thing is, I mean, software as a service, I love the idea, but I mean, every so often I pay $10 or $20 a month to Adobe for the photography stuff, and every so often I'm like, hey man, and I go have a look for something else, and then I end up carrying on paying $10 or $20. But one day I'll find an option that isn't ripping. You either get ripped off, you buy the software, and then every 2 or 3 years you've got to buy it again, or you pay monthly, and then you just pay for, like, I must pay for this until I die. What happens if someone forgets to cancel it when I die?
You say that, and it brings up a very painful memory for me about Microsoft. I remember a time where you could buy Microsoft Office, install it once, and have it forever. Mm. Now you have to renew it every single year. Mm-hmm. That makes no sense.
Well, except I do get 5 licenses for $1,500 and 5 terabytes of data.
You used to get them but for also, free.
Well, but more importantly, I'm on a Mac, which meant that in 2016, I think I had Office 2008.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was that crazy man, Steve Ballmer, who didn't care for Mac.
Interest rates in Switzerland.
Yeah, yeah.
We've gone into the rate cycle. We're officially cutting globally, I suppose, given that the US has now done it. We've cut, Switzerland's cut 25 basis points. Not too many surprises there. But I suppose the Swiss economy as well never really does surprise.
No. I mean, they were also at 175. I mean, they've done 3 cuts to 1% since March. That's some big cutting going on.
How do you have interest rates sitting at 1%? What kind of economy do you have where the US is still north of, what is it, 5% at this point? South Africa, north of 10%, and Switzerland's at 1%.
1%. So their economy is what? Chocolate, Swiss guards who guard the Vatican.
The Alps.
The Alps, and currency manipulation. I can't take them seriously. No, do you remember when they pegged their currency against the euro? Let me go find the data here. They pegged, so we go back now to late 2011. Mm-hmm. They pegged their Swiss franc against the euro at a franc 120, whatever it is. And I remember thinking, that's like Zimbabwe stuff. But anyway. And they left it there until, when did it unpeg? December 2014. Mm-hmm. And brokers went bankrupt because it was the easiest trade in the world, right? As it got down to the 120, you buy it and it'll bounce. And it was free money. I'll be honest, I took some free money because I have habits. And then suddenly they lifted the peg and the thing went from 120 all the way down to 97. In fact, I think even lower than that, maybe 85. Literally, brokerages went bankrupt because clients were on the wrong side of the trade. It happened overnight, massive gap. And it's like, well, client, sorry for you. So, I mean, they are a weird economy. And of course, banking, secret banking.
Secret banking. Yeah. Very secret banking for very secret individuals. But it is,
to the point, it's been massive cuts. It's 1%. And yeah.
That economy is going to, I suppose, whether the economy continues to do well or not is not really down to interest rate decisions. Unlike South Africa, the Swiss economy is going to thrive, whether it's at 1% or 1.5% interest rates.
Yeah.
It's always going to do well.
It's just going to bundle along and sell us chocolate and armed guards.
And we're going to keep buying the chocolate. Sure. Local movements this week have also been on the positive side, right? We've seen a lot of bullish reactions. I remember, as you said, when we got that stimulus that we spoke about, the Chinese stimulus, on the day, the public holiday, I was watching one of the out-of-hours pricing on the top 40, and we did probably around 2% on a closed day. And the next day was obviously great, and it's been a great week. We started off the week fairly strong, and we didn't even anticipate that this decision was going to come out of China. But local stocks seemingly benefiting a lot more than some of the other markets. I think about the FTSE in London, and the FTSE kind of being flat and blah. But the Nikkei, the Hang Seng, the top 40 emerging markets, and especially South Africa, absolutely loving the stimulus package.
Yeah, so Corin Richard tweeted emerging markets, US, Brazil, and Mexico in dollars over 6 months. And we are sort of, I think, 20%+ in dollars, and we are well ahead of the other two. But I think your point is well taken. So S&P is back at all-time highs. NASDAQ is almost at all-time highs. And, you know, if we run through, so India's running away like crazy. But the developed, you know, Australia kind of like, yeah, but it's a grand higher. The FTSE basically been going sideways for the last many, many months. The Eurostoxx 250, same story. Germany, same story, although it is breaking a bit higher. We're, you know, our chart is doing that bottom left, top right, whereas many of the others are kind of doing the sideways
in the middle kind of thing.
And we're just, you know, rand at 1720, getting maybe some GDP, 100 days of a GNU, and it's still
Ooh, we got some tough GNU news this week, but we're still GNUing at the moment. Yeah. Top 40, touching 80,000 points or approaching 80,000. We're at 79,250 at the moment.
Yeah.
We're basically at 80,000 points. On the Allsy, we're approaching 90,000 points. I don't even know where this turns. I mean, obviously, we start to hit things like psychological levels, round numbers, 95, 100,000 points or whatever. But this is a bull run, effectively, for South Africa, if you think about the fact that just...
But and our market's not... So PE on the top 40 is 16.
Mm-hmm.
Dividend yield 3.3. These are not crazy numbers.
They're not.
They're not crazy numbers at all. Not by close.
They're not. And you look at the way the market's performed. I mean, I look at the, 2023 October. So this time last year, we were at 65,000 points, down to 63,000 points.
Almost a third.
Yes. In a year. That is madness. Take it a little further back to September. So this time, 2 years ago, 2022, post-pandemic, two years post-pandemic, we were at 55,000 points. That's insane.
Almost 50% in 2 years.
That's madness.
And it comes to the point, what South Africa's needed for a long time was just a glimmer of hope. We don't ask for a lot as South Africans. Just some basics. Just electricity, functioning government, you know, basics. We don't need Swiss chocolate and armed guards. And it's kind of been coming through. I mean, the one that, you know, property, we spoke about it last week, you know, up 30-odd% in the last 12 months. I mean, there's just been this underpinning, and we've said it before, these companies who have struggled through load shedding and zero growth and everything and still managed to eke out growth and profits and everything, man, you give them a bit of power, you give them a bit of economic growth, it's Christmas for them.
We don't ask for much. We just ask for the basics. That's Market Matters this week.